on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Pool Show. In the studio tonight, it's quite empty actually, but we have the power that is Aaron Bauer. Say hey, Aaron.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening, everyone. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. You know, I used to be in a band.
I was just going to say, you're a good singer. You should have brought a song out with your brother in the 90s.
There's a very few things in my life that I'm embarrassed about. That is one of them. I think Ewan will jump in every now and again, and we've got Jakey across social media and doing all the running in the studio. Also, he's very consistent as Jakey. He's also putting together our hottest topics at the moment, so he's a very important part of the team. All right, I think we're giving away a family pass to this weekend's match at the Huddersfield Giants versus Warrington this coming Sunday. We launched it last week. We'll announce the winner by the end of the game, so I think you've got no point in announcing the winner by the end of the game. That doesn't work. We'll announce it by the end of this show. So I'm guessing you've still got an hour to get your name and details down, and we'll pick someone at random. I'll get Jakey to throw a dart, and if your name comes up, you'll win that pass to what should be an interesting Super League competition. Both teams are quite desperate at this point in time, so that actually makes the game quite interesting because both of them are floundering down at the bottom of the table, and they want to get out of that danger zone, which is the bottom four. Okay, so there's loads to listen out for, all the hottest topics in the game, so stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Pool Show. Let's do it.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Gotta say, boys, sun is out, it is shining, but I am tired. And let me tell you why I'm tired. My wife, my darling wife, and I gotta admit, I love her to death. She's the apple of my eye, and she's made me the person I am today, plus my kids. Obviously, they all have an important factor in shaping you as you are as a person. But my wife, for the first time in 3 years, so Sebastian, my oldest son, is 3 years of age. He's 3 years and 1 month. For the first time in 3 years and 1 month, my wife went away and cut the umbilical cord and went away for 2 days in Marbella.
That's a long time. Three years.
If you're a dad and he's never been left alone looking after your own kids.
Plenty of time to get ready for it.
I've got to admit, I've got this new appreciation for mothers across the planet. New appreciation. No, in saying that though, it was easy. I don't know what she talks about. The house is spotless. The kids are breathing.
They're being fed. Important, yeah.
I've got to admit, I turned up at the airport to pick her up this afternoon and she goes, why is Emily, Emily's our youngest, 1 year of age, why is Emily wearing pyjamas? PJs. I didn't know. What's the difference? It just looks like a t-shirt, you know what I mean?
Was it a good trip, though?
Right?
Was it a good trip?
Oh, was it a good trip? So, like I said, she hasn't cut the umbilical cord in 3 years, and I'm not sure how much I should actually say here because, obviously, I do love her to death, and she is my heart and soul. She's going to give me a crack around the ears, I'm sure, but in 3 years, she's never really had a proper drink because she's obviously always got to get up with the kids the next day. But the way she got off the plane today, she did not look very healthy. She was making some funny noise in the back of the car on the way home.
Oh.
I think she's got alcohol poisoning. She had, you get those social media updates when they Your location in somewhere. Oh, yeah. What is it?
Check in.
So she checks in at this fancy beach bar yesterday, and they spend the whole day there. Oh. And I don't think that she got in until the early hours of the morning. But that's big for that's a mum. That's really, I mean, the most I've seen her drink in the last 3 years is like three glasses of wine. And you can just imagine. She was on one of her very good friends, Hindus, and you can just imagine. I think there was about 13 ladies. And so you just imagine what starting at lunchtime at some, you imagine cocktails and Prosecco and champagne. And, when they do it properly. It's not, it's not half a lager and lime type of effect. It's let's cook it.
So she's feeling it.
I think
she's
she rode until it. The wheels fell off and the wheels fell off. And I feel for her because it's generally always me. It's always me that's sort of in that state. But anyway, God, you know, I take my hat off to her. But it's been an interesting 3 days for me. I've got this mother father thing down pat though. Run my operation like a military operation. Everything had a minute by minute blow account. I had a full plan and processed out every single day from Monday all the way through picking Natalie up, which I was 5 minutes on time. She expected me to run late. She had spoke to the neighbours yesterday. She was a bit worried that she had told them she was really worried that I just wouldn't be able to handle it. And I said, oh, this, you know, this is child. We're on to child number four for me.
Two days is a lot shorter than 3 years, though, Rob.
yeah, you're right. You got a point there, Aaron.
Two weeks, maybe. See how you go after 2 weeks.
No, I don't think she'll ever trust me in putting me to the test and that. But I'll process the heck out of it. I'm a process man. As a halfback, I like systems and processes.
You're a thinker.
And that's the way I used to plan things. And to be honest, I don't think the kids fed, watered, clothed, cleaned, but I don't think they had a lot of fun. Like I said, it was very regimented.
The breathing, though.
You're allowed to smile. You got 5 minutes. Now stop smiling. Hey, to be honest, though, 2 days, it's gone around pretty quickly. But I was talking to you before the show just about your moving. And you started moving into this house that you've been moving into, Aaron, 5 months ago.
7 months ago. We got the keys 7 months ago.
I was going to ask you 5 weeks ago how the moving in's going, getting on, and you still haven't moved in.
Still going on.
Is it really that, or you just, because you're still at your mum and dad's?
No.
You're not?
No.
You're in a flat?
No, in a house.
In a house?
Yeah, with my partner.
Oh, okay.
And then we...
With the boss.
We got a bigger one.
And so you're scaling up.
That we've had to practically rebuild. You said it, grand designs.
Grand designs.
We've had to knock two walls down. We've had to rewire the whole house. And her dad, my father-in-law, who is a builder, shout out to him because he's done all the work. So fair play to him.
I've got to admit, I'm thinking to myself, now, what are you doing? You've spent your entire education, all your life, sat behind a computer, tap, tap, tapping away. How are you helping out your father-in-law?
Well, I would say it's a bit like you. You're a piano player. You orchestrate all the piano pushes. I've played the piano. I've picked the paints, picked the wallpapers.
To your father-in-law, to your Mrs. Dad? He is saying this. Are you hearing him? He's basically saying he's the, the ground operations manager.
He's done the hard stuff, the important
stuff. Lifting.
The piano players can't go anywhere without someone pushing the piano.
You know, I did my backyard. I think I started this show and I was in the middle of doing my backyard about 3 or 4 years ago.
Still doing it.
I vowed after doing that backyard that I would never lift a hammer ever again to do anything other than put up like a picture frame or something like that. As it stands right now. So you know what? My missus is quite smart. She decided to get our shower in the ensuite redesigned, but she did that in the time that she was going away. So the ensuite is absolutely. I mean, the ensuite. So we've had two strangers in the house doing out their ensuite. They're finished. The hour she gets back, they finish. So they've gone in there. They've kitted me out a new brand new ensuite. But over those 2 days, I've had to put up with the dust everywhere, bits and pieces all over the carpet. You know, strangers in my house while she's away living the dream.
I think some women have a natural ability with DIY and things like that.
Not my wife.
I'll shout to my wife. We started building a shed over the bank holiday weekend together, and then I sort of carried on and bodged it completely, and then she fixed it. But she's done a cracking job.
I'll give him this.
But she's really good at that. She wallpapers the house like on the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think it's more they read the instructions. We don't. We look at the instructions. We don't read them. They read instructions. Instructions for me are just sort of like they're a guide. Unless I've written it and then when I've written the instructions, when I write my processes, I then really operations manage. I sit over people and I say, you get this done this way. But when I'm reading someone else's instructions, it's a guide. It's an outline, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have to go back and do the work all again. My wife, God bless her cotton socks, she cannot do DIY. If I let her help me out, my workload becomes 3 hours, 3 times longer. So I try to keep her off. Oh, I got to admit, we'll get to the rugby. I'm sure.
At some point.
Ewan, are we about to go to a break? You know, just on that note, there is loads of rugby to talk about. We had the Summer Bash over the course of the weekend, and not one, but two Super League matches. We had another doubleheader over the weekend, so there's absolutely loads of controversy has actually come out of those two factions. So we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we'll be kicking off with all the sport's hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup. Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the RHP Show. We've got a skinny studio tonight. Robbo's been called in to do that pretend coaching job once again.
Yeah.
And Leon, who retired last week, is actually off on a family holiday, and he does right.
Yes. Good career.
He needs great career, and I think we should just spend a little bit of time talking about that. We'll get to that in a second. Just a reminder, you can win a family pass to the Huddersfield Giants home match against Warrington this Sunday down at the John Smith Stadium. Very busy stadium at the moment because Huddersfield Town got promoted to the Premiership. Would you believe? Anyway, congratulations to Huddersfield Town. It's good to see West Yorkshire Sports doing well. So a big shout out to them as well. Just on Leon though, let's have a quick chat about our mate while he's not here, because we can say whatever we want. Now, absolutely wonderful career. What a lot of people don't realise, he is actually one of the most, not the most, but nearly one of the most decorated rugby league stars of all time, but equally, especially in the modern era of the Super League.
One of the most respected as well, isn't he? I think if you spoke to 100 players who've played with him, 99 would probably say he's one of the best that he's ever played with. For the book, we did a bit where we spoke to Leon's former teammates. You were one of them. And
made it all up.
Guys like Sean Long, Danny Houghton. So these are man of steals. These are international players.
Just pick up those names. You just dropped them on the floor there.
They all said, you know, top five Super League all time, without a doubt. I mean, he's won everything.
He's won everything.
Different clubs as well.
The most amazing thing for me when I first saw Leon, so I remember being a 18-year-old boy when I came over to England in 1994. I got told that I had to go down to Oddsall because they had the under-13s Bradford finals on. And Leon was playing for West Bowling. Yeah, for West Bowling as a youngster. And they had players like Wayne Price in there, his cousin, and Stuart Redden was in there as well. So, you know, further England internationals. But Leon, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. Leon was so much better. He sort of like no one could tackle him. He was about at least 6'1". And these are under-13s. He just run through. And it was like he didn't want to hurt them. He didn't want to hurt the kids that he was playing with, so he'd sort of take it easy on them. When he'd tackle them, he wouldn't rag them about. Like some of his teammates, like Ray, Stu Redden and Wayne and all of them, were sort of, you know, under 13 years of age, just coming into their hormones, so they're trying to act like they're Premiership stars, Super League stars. It wasn't our Super League at that time, but Leon just, he was a bit of a gentle giant with them. And I remember it was so easy for him to score tries, so he was that much quicker. They're much stronger, and he just blitzed through the defences, and he'd get over the try line. And after he'd scored his first five tries, I think, then he'd just sort of wait on the try line and pass it to his teammates. Just,
you know, that's when you know you're too good.
You're too good.
Yeah.
And then very, very quickly, within a couple of years, he was in promoted. I mean, he used to be ball boy as well. He used to come along, and there was a couple of we were at the same video store. I said, "Oh, do you need a lift somewhere?" He said, "Yeah, I'll jump in with you." And I took him and just said, "Where do you need? Where do you need to go?" "Oh, just drop me off anywhere here." So I dropped him off. He later came to. I actually took him further away from where he actually needed to be, but he was just happy to sort of hang out. So I thought, okay, well, each to their own. But I remember him coming into the Bulls first team lineup against Salford was his opening game. 16 years of age, absolutely. I had never seen a kid blessed with so much natural athleticism, never. And his first preseason with the first team, He must have been only 17 years of age. He turned 17, so he was 17 going on 18, because later that year he played the grand final on his 18th birthday.
Yeah, he did.
So 17 throughout the entirety of, I think it was the 1999 season.
Yeah.
And, God, he had just so much talent. You know, we played him on the wing, but really you could have put him at fullback or in at standoff, and he could do it all. He just probably wasn't physical enough to get that much exposure, but he was damn well good enough.
You win trophies at one club as well. You're obviously considered to be a great player, but Bradford, St Helens, Hull, Great Britain, done it all. I mean, 20 years at the top is ridiculous.
Not only talked about as a talented player, but I think what's more important is when you start being talked about as a feared player, when coaches spend extra attention on you.
Yeah.
That's when you know you've got the juice. And to be able to do that for so long, you know, players, I could even put my own hand up here and say that was, you know, my type of career. They come into their own and then they go out of their own and then they sort of trail down and they become good players. But Leon stayed in that great player category for so long. And that's why he should be remembered. I know, I mean, it's been heartbreaking for him at times this season, because this is his club and he wanted to come back and finish on a strong fanfare. And then with the Bradford Bulls went into, you know, going into administration, going into liquidation, being the road that all the players, sort of led back to. Leon was that stalwart, that
he held it together, didn't he?
He held it together, but he had to consume all of that concern, all that worry, all that anxiety from his teammates. He's human at the end of the day, and he's held it together so strong for so long. And I think unless you walk that pathway yourself, you don't quite understand how much pressure that puts on you. And then you come home to your hometown club and you want it to be very different. You know, you want to finish on your terms. And he's had to do it hard this season. You know, he played a lot more game time than actually what it was agreed he would be when he did sign the contract. But he put his hand up and he did it. He did what was asked of him.
Because he's a pro.
He's more than a pro.
Well, more than that.
He goes more than a professional, isn't it? He actually sits in that corner where you're sat right now, and he makes fun at himself and he says, it's all about the money, it's all about the money. Well, no one would have done what he did this season if it actually is all about the money. Because the Bulls aren't a Super League team.
No.
And they're paying wages within their remit, within their scope. They're now operating within their abilities. So it wasn't for the money.
No.
And actually, every game on injections, every game, just sort of biting his lip and getting through it and, you know, doing as much as he could and actually carrying all of that weight and what she carried at the beginning of this season as well. And he carried it all on his shoulders.
And he'll be there with them as well for the rest of the year. Yep. There's no bigger fan. You know, he'll have been watching Saturday when they're putting a really good display.
That's right.
And he'll have been buzzing. He'll have been
delighted.
He's
not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah. So the administration are putting a group of opportunities together for him to see how he can transfer from playing into the administration side of the game. Maybe coaching. It depends. The world is his oyster. You know, with that amount of talent, playing 20 years at that level comes with a load of in-depth knowledge, being under some of the greatest coaches in the world, being alongside some of the greatest players in the world. That's got to be able to, and he's a great communicator.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard on the show, he can just get on the microphone and just spit lyrical, and he does it in such a passionate way. And when you can speak in a passionate way to players and you've been there, you've done that, you've walked the pathway they have, it actually nails it home. It gets you buying in and gets the desire that you need out of them.
Yeah, I'd echo everything you said. I mean, the guy, the important thing for me is he was there for those kids who needed someone when the going was tough. Leon could go home or the older players could go home and they've got a family there, but some of these kids didn't have anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Leon was like a father figure for them. He held it together. And that, for me, is the most interesting part of the book, the bit that we didn't even envisage doing, where you find out just how much this had a burden on people's lives. And kids crying, thinking, I haven't got a job, I can't play rugby anymore, and how Leon held it all together. Yeah, it didn't finish how he would have wanted, but he should be held in the highest of regards by Bradford fans for what he's done for that club.
And I think he is. Yeah. I mean, when you look massively. At the outpouring of love for Leon and really the annoyance of the majority of fans towards that small minority of fans that were... And if you look at it from their perspective, they just want Leon to be Leon, you know. Obviously,
they wanted the Leon of old.
Yes, of course. But Leon is old. and they weren't going to get that, but they didn't. They don't have the ability to see what he does offer. Yeah. And I think that's what you're talking about. And I think a hugely important aspect that we overlook and we can't see from just talking about it like that is actually. When you take upon the burden of those younger players, those players that are crying, and you're having to be strong for them, you carry that emotion with you.
Yeah.
It's not something that you just leave rolls at the door.
Yeah, you take it home. Yeah.
No, you're taking it home. You're sitting there. You're pondering on it. It is taking energy from you completely. And he did that. Yeah. He did that with such humility and strength.
Yeah.
And he had to be strong for so long. And... Leon, we take our hat off to you. Your career deserves it. We know your autobiography is going to be fantastic. We're going to launch it here on the show in a couple of weeks' time. So recharge your batteries, my brother, and we'll see you soon. All right, ladies and gents, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about all the sports' hottest topics, so stick with us. And we'll be back with more soon.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're giving away a family pass to the Huddersfield Giants home match at the John Smith Stadium coming up this weekend against Warrington Wolves. This Sunday, I think that's June the 3rd, is it?
4th.
June the 4th. You've got about 10, 15 minutes to get your details in. 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to pick someone at random. So that's two children, two adults. Come along, have some fun. It'll be a cracking game. Both teams are desperate to get points on the board and move out of that relegation fight. Actually, it isn't relegation fight. Get out of the Super 8 qualifier zone. Okay, we're talking rugby league now. We just did a massive shout out to Leon, who retired last weekend, regular on the show. He's out with his family. Family member getting married this weekend. Oh, sorry, next weekend in Greece. So lucky for some. Let's look at some of the hot topics from the sport of rugby league. Busy weekend last weekend, Aaron. I think you put your feet up this weekend. You went to the Magic Weekend, the Dutch Magic Weekend last week. But this weekend, Summer Bash, you watched it on the box, didn't you?
Put my feet up.
Wow, look, now he's gonna claim he's a journalist. He gets paid to go to sports games.
Game on Thursday night, game on Friday
night. You get paid to go to sports
Monday,
games.
Put my feet up.
Do you have this conversation with your missus?
Yeah.
Does she, you have to try and justify?
Well, no, because we counter each other out because she's a teacher, so I say you get 20 weeks off a year and
you're
she says...
You're kidding. So, teachers work so hard. Just imagine
so
trying to... You get to write about something. If your missus was just looking at the students and then just writing up stuff, but she's a teacher, what age group?
Primary school.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Can you hear this? Primary school kids as well. Little kids.
Yeah. Little kids. Year ones and year
and
twos.
And you're saying that your job competes with that. You get paid to go watch sports games.
Good, isn't it?
It really is, isn't it? It really is. Oh,
no,
honestly.
Yeah, no summer
you're
bash.
The greatest job in the world.
No summer bash. But yeah, watched most of it. Game of the weekend.
Had to be.
Hulk KR Bradford,
had to be.
Supposed to be a riot. Supposed to be a whitewash.
Should have been. That was the strongest Bulls team that they put on the field this year, minus LP, minus Leon. But outside of that, that was a team that was actually very physical.
Yeah.
And I think they caught Hulk KR on the hop, so to speak. I think they surprised them how physical they were. I think maybe Hulk KR ran a little bit of the risk of reading well, you guys right. There's going to be a one-way traffic.
Bit of complacency.
Yeah,
maybe,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the team that's absolutely destroying the whole championship.
Yeah.
And that does happen. It does happen. Complacency does happen. I remember being with a Super League-style Salford Reds team when we played down in the championship for a season, absolutely destroying everyone, but we did get beaten that season. You turn up complacent, the opposition turns up with their minds in the right place. What have they got to lose?
Get
underdogs.
Stung, yeah.
They get stung.
Pressure. There was no pressure on Bradford either, and they really seemed like they thrived under it. You touched on the forwards as well. Mm-hmm. Big Peltier back in the side. A
he
lead
looks
skin.
Good. He's lost some weight, Ross.
It looks good.
He's lost weight.
Looked good.
And his workload and his work rate was really big for a guy his size.
A Chisholm as well.
Oh, Chisholm added just a different level.
Different
you've
got, dimension.
You've got Jordan Lilley, who controls, and he's the general that moves the team around the park, and plays a very straight-laced type of game. And then you got DC, who's out of the box. He's like Jared Sammet. Anything can happen.
If they could keep Lilley for most of the year and keep Chisholm fit, I think that would go a long way to getting them out of it. I think
keeping
a
them
good
in the
settled
safe zone.
And a settled halfback pairing every week as well.
Yeah, but would you not agree that those halfbacks are only as good as a platform that's set for them? So they need the forwards.
Absolutely, yeah. But just a bit of consistency in the pivots would probably be important. But yeah, they've got more punch in the pack certainly now than they've had in recent weeks. I mean, it all flips this weekend. They went to Blackpool last week with no pressure. This weekend, they're probably going to be favourites.
Against Dewsbury, Dewsbury, posted stamp of a field, really small. Dewsbury know how to play on it.
So it's how you manage that pressure as well now, especially with halfway through the season now, the league table starting to take more and more importance. If anyone has a glance at the table and then run up to the game, you think, oh, this is the game to get to zero. Mm-hmm. This is the game. But if you put too much of that on your shoulders, it can sort of hinder the way you play, especially like you say, bit of a postage stamp of a ground. It sort of inhibit the way you can throw the ball about and be expansive.
And they're a young team. Leon brought the average age of the team right up. He stepped down now, so they're still a young team. And it's the young players that generally don't deal with pressure very well. And this is a highly pressurised game.
Yeah. It's up to the experience that is in there. I guess Chisholm falls into that bracket.
Yep.
Scott Moore falls into that bracket to say to
he
these
was
kids.
Excellent last
week. He was. To do what Leon's done and sort of take the weight off these kids' shoulders and say, let's go out and play. Just enjoy it. Because when Bradford this year, whenever I've seen them and they've played without any fear, any pressure, they look good. They look like they can trouble the best teams, which we saw last week. And had it not been for the bounce of a ball or one play that went the wrong way for Bradford. I mean, they gave a penalty away right on half time. That's 2 points. They lost the game by a point. It's such fine margins, but they should take plenty of encouragement out of that.
I'm sure. Isn't it interesting that we're talking up this bottom of the barrel game?
Yeah.
Bottom of the barrel championship game, but that's how important it is.
And it's because Bradford are down there as well. I mean,
such a big brand.
Yeah. It's a big story, isn't it, that they're still down there?
It is a big story. And I think you and I both know how important to the game of rugby league it is to see
strong
that
Bradford
brand.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that talk that. Okay, the next biggest talking point, I reckon, is the second doubleheader.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation coming out of this about whether or not it should have gone on. I think we had Danny Sculthorpe doing a podcast. I think it was caught on some radio interview. I'm not sure who it was with, but he was talking about the collisions in contact rugby, very akin to a 30-mile-an-hour car crash. And if forwards are expected to either make tackles or carry the ball at least in the region of 50 times per game, that's 30-mile-an-hour car crashes. That's a lot to consider when you think you've only got 2 days to repair yourself and get ready to play again.
Yeah, Darryl Powell said today that some of the guys came in, so they played Friday, had Saturday off, came in Sunday to prepare for the Monday, and some of them could barely walk on the Sunday morning. They just couldn't move because they were so ginger from the collisions on the Friday night. I mean, people forget that this is a physical sport and mentally tough as well. Really mentally. Players speak about not being able to sleep after games and things like that, so that just throws you out of sync. And you got to play Monday as well. I mean, I don't know what we're asking from players anymore. Why we're doing it. You wonder why England struggle. Because we just hammer our players.
Well, actually, it's apt that you say that because England is why we're doing it.
Yeah,
this is the second doubleheader in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The first doubleheader is the traditional Easter weekend, but they've thrown another one in purely and simply to finish the season 1 week earlier so England can have one extra week in preparation for the World Cup at the end of the year. So I can understand the approach, but why wouldn't you just sort of maybe push the season a week earlier, start the season
And as well
earlier
as that, they wanted it to allow England to go to Dubai for a week. That was another part of the thinking as well, that we can create a bit of space for England to go to Dubai, and that got cancelled.
Yeah, that's right. There's an ongoing conversation, and I think that the players are doing too much. Mm. Let's be honest. They're playing too many games. And we turn and we point the finger at the governing body, but the governing body doesn't make these decisions. It's that they have to be voted in. I think we were talking about it last week, that the clubs vote in the amount of games that they want to play. Now, I understand that the games are the income generators, and that is really important, but then there's a counter argument that you're dampening the quality of the core product, which is performance. And if you have a look at what was the shock of the weekend, probably Leeds going down to Widnes on Monday afternoon. I think that is maybe a little bit of a telltale sign that's a point in case.
Yeah, it can happen at any point in the season, results like that. But yeah, you do wonder when you see third in the league going down to bottom, who've only won twice all year. It's not a great sign for sort of flogging players and getting the best out of them. The only thing I'd say is the players don't have a voice. The players have to get together and get some sort of union to make sure their voices are heard, because they won't be heard. The players.
Well, that's interesting, because then you understand that clubs, governing bodies, they fear unions.
Yeah.
Because unions take control away from them, and then it stops being about the money.
Yeah.
And then it stops being about the professionalism. So there's counter arguments all different ways. It's whether or not because when League 13 was started up, they weren't really embraced by the governing body.
No.
And I don't think they were really embraced by the clubs either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was probably an element of fear, and there's the commercial aspect of it all to get that driving, and you do need to commercialize it. Without most other unions get their money from the TV monies. It's agreed with the sport. I mean, Australian Rules Football is brilliant. It's a not-for-profit organisation as Aussie Rules Football. All the money gets invested straight back into the sport. They run from the centre. Money comes straight out of, a percentage of the money comes straight out of the television deals, straight into the players' union to keep the players player welfare as a focus. It's interesting that you talk about Darryl Powell, though, bringing up that player welfare issue, because he's one of the outspoken people about Huddersfield Giants and St. Helens postponing their game over the course of the weekend. Huddersfield was supposed to play at home, but with Huddersfield Town being in the Premiership playoffs, that meant that basically the town was going to be absolutely empty and the stadium would have been empty. So logic plays that, postpone it to both of them are knocked out of the cup to a cup weekend. I get that. The logic works, but Darryl Powell, Tony Smith, both coming out publicly suggesting that it's unfair. All of their teams had to play two games in the one weekend. Yeah. Why couldn't they then have looked to postpone their game or just them being forced to play their game?
They've said that, you know, they don't have a problem with the game being called off and things like that. But if they were in their position, they'd do the same. But it's just the principle of it, which is just wrong. It just doesn't add up for me.
Well, talking points. And we've got loads of hot topics still to come. We're going to have a look at the upcoming games this weekend. So just going to go to a break. So stick with us and we'll be back with all of that and more. Thank you.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We've been running a competition for a family pass to go down to the Huddersfield Giants. Big match against Warrington Wolves. Both teams are desperate and both teams are jam-packed full of stars as well. So it should be a great game. I've had Jakey throw the dart and he's come up with a name. Ewan, can you read out our winner?
Winner. This pass is Jared Tolson of Liversidge, I believe.
Jared Tolson of Liversidge. Congratulations, yep. Jared. We'll get in contact with you.
I'll be in touch with you probably tomorrow if you're listening.
Awesome, Jared. You're a lucky winner. Congratulations, buddy. All right. Just wanted to quickly just mention it because it went on today, and I've got to admit, I'm a bit of an arrogant State of Origin fan. You know, the mighty Maroons. Go Queensland. And so all of my mates back in New Zealand and a lot of my friends here in West Yorkshire also on Facebook, so they're all Blues fans, and I've no idea why, because the Maroons have had the lion's share of success over the number of different years. So I was giving them loads of stick this morning, but absolutely got our backsides handed to us this morning. New South Wales killed the Maroons, Queensland. at Lang Park as well.
I would love to be able to spend my Wednesday morning sat watching State of Origin on the TV.
I wasn't watching State of Origin. You know what I had it on? I had it on the wireless. Would you believe
the
that?
The wireless?
Yes.
Some good signal from Lang Park, Brisbane.
Digital radio.
Ah, okay.
So I just Googled. To be honest, I was trying to look for a free review, but nothing was coming up. Everything was like, yeah, it's free to air, but you've got to put your details in and your credit card. So that's not free to air. Anyway, I found it on the radio. Listened to just before halftime. That's how long it took me to actually download it. Not download it, but to go online and listen to it. And just before, about 5 minutes ago from the end, but it was 26 points to 4 at that point in time. So 26 points to 6, I think, at that point in time. So I thought, look, I've heard enough. Absolutely horrible. David Fifita.
Andrew Fifita,
David's brother.
Yeah.
David's brother.
Animal.
Absolutely killed it. So disappointed. England squad, 27-man train-on squad. Is that what they're calling it? Excellent.
Elite performance squad. Yeah. Train-on squad.
Follow what it is. Chosen today. A couple of inductions that maybe not. A little bit of controversy. Paul McShane, Greg Eden. You got to say,
Greg Eden. I mean, he's flying, isn't he?
He's cool, man.
But he's as good as his centre, Shenton, who is right on top of his form.
You know what? With Greg Eden, I watched him when he was a young giant, when he was playing at fullback.
Did you play with him?
No. When I retired in 2011, he was there as a young player, just breaking through. I think they had picked him up from Castleford, as a young player. And what a talent. The guy, his balance, his footwork, and that was him. And Nathan Brown, a lot of faith in him. But he was a young, let me just say, he was a young man and he was still coming to terms with being a professional. And I think that's why the club, you know, parted company with him and didn't actually look to build upon his success. And obviously Nathan Brown moved on to St. Helens as well. And then he spent a little bit of time in the wilderness, went down under, cut his teeth a little bit more, but that talent is obviously still there to be nurtured. So he can play fullback as well. So he offers that England squad another dimension. Probably doesn't have the passing game, hasn't developed that yet, but he can sure get over the try line.
He's a finisher, isn't he? He's a finisher.
In style as well.
You'd love a guy like that on your team. Just if your centre gives you a millimetre of space, you know he's going to take it. It's some of those finishes this year, the diving over players.
Athleticism.
One-handed in the corner, using the flag, which is the best rule they've changed,
any
getting rid of the flag.
Yeah,
that's great. But it's Darryl Powell again. I mean, he's been a bit up and down as Eden throughout his career, but he comes to Castleford, and boy, Darryl Powell turns him into a world beater. Same with McShane as well.
You know, there's a few of these players that have walked around and they've had this shadow of discipline hanging over their heads. It seems to disappear when they go to Dale Shelford's team.
Yeah.
I mean, or players don't last long.
Yeah.
You know,
you get found out
Justin
soon.
Justin Carney moved on. Rennie Chase have all been moved on from Castleford. Anything that, what I guess, from the outside, and this is an outsider looking in, you know, obviously we don't know the details of what's going on, but anything that seems to upset the apple cart, he doesn't tolerate that.
The group don't
tolerate that. You know, we're talking about it last week. They look like a team that enjoy each other's company.
They're big on culture, I think, as well, which is another big thing that a lot of good teams say they've got these days. And you're right that Powell just doesn't seem to take any nonsense. If anyone's no good, they're out.
Got to go. Yeah. Paul McShane, you mentioned him. He's probably, of them all, he's probably the biggest shock, because if there's one position in British rugby league, English rugby league, so to speak, hooker. There seems to be a lot of talented hookers.
Yeah, Darryl Clark, James Robey, Josh Hodgson in the NRL, Paul McShane. I mean, Hodgson and the NRL boys like Sam Burgess and Elliot Whitehead aren't in this EPS squad because they meet every couple of weeks just for a morning or an afternoon, so the Aussie boys can't do that. So this is a bit of a trial for McShane. I think Wayne Bennett likes Josh Hodgson. I think he'll go with Hodgson as his starting hooker. I think it's between Clark and McShane to go to the World Cup. I think those two are playing for a spot in the World Cup, so there's plenty of motivation there to impress.
Oh, there is, isn't there?
Not much.
And what a headache to have. Yeah. Should I take McShane? Should I take Darryl Clark?
And you're leaving Robey out as well, by the way.
with all that experience. There's someone who won't get fazed by the big game. On that, though, when you look at the spine of that team and English equivalent players that are available for England. Paul McShane, Luke Gale and Zach Hardacre. They have a system. Those three work together really well. And I'm sure that's what, that's what Wayne Bennett is actually reviewing at this point in time. He's got to find a working spine of his team that's going to complement one another and complement the team. He's got strike. I don't think England's ever had this plethora of a spine of a team that is that rich.
They've got continuity as well. Continuity. They'll all, if he plays that spine, they will all know each other. Mm-hmm. So there'll be no bonding, no training needed. They're just ripping. And with Shenton and maybe Eden on the left edge as well. So Gale marshalling that left edge, it'll just click straight away. I think that is what it would give England the best chance.
So for you listening at home, what we're talking about, when you spend that sort of time together, the organic thing that actually happens is you don't need to talk to one another. You know what's on by a look. You just look at each other in the eyes and it's on. It's the same play that you do at club level. It's the same play that will work at international level if done correctly. Yeah. And when you're with someone brand new, someone that you've learned to play against all season long, what you end up doing is then you end up having to speak to them and you just lose half a metre. And I think half a metre at a World Cup final against the Aussie, that's the difference between actually gaining some success. There's an argument to actually just run with those guys for that one reason. If we could get the recipe that Darryl Powell has, and it's just wonderful to watch them. They just come in waves. The team flows in waves.
Well, you mentioned state of origin as well. Kronk, Thurston, Slater, for 7-8 years they played together. And they just slot into the Australia side and they win things. It's no surprise, really, that these guys have played together at origin level for so long and they can just click when they put a green and gold shirt on. That's what we should be aspiring to do.
And with players like this playing together in that mindset, that's exactly what they do. Now, let's just have a quick look at some of the games coming up this weekend. Salford and Wakey, for me, is probably one of the top games.
Game of the round, yeah. Second against fourth, two teams who are unlikely contenders for the grand final and playing again in the Cup.
Yes,
in a couple
so it's a
weeks.
Prelude to the Challenge
so
Cup.
So a good little dress rehearsal there, yeah. Fancy Salford.
You fancy Salford? Mm. Salford's at home. That obviously gives them an advantage. It's interesting what tactics the coaches will use going into this game, though, isn't it?
With such a big quarterfinal coming up in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, both chairmen, both of them would like to get a piece of that. All right, that's it for today. My very big thank you to Aaron, being the one and only star that we've got here. Well, obviously, we've got Jake and you and always two other stars. But thank you for being with us this evening. It's been fun.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.